Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in to the inaugural episode, an introductory episode of sorts for a brand new show we are doing here as part of the Attitude of Aggression and the Chair Shot Radio Network called An Unidentified History. I am your host, or one of your hosts, Big Dave, Dave Ungar. You know me from the Attitude of Aggression Wrestling Podcast, Game Gone Wrong, Bandwagon Nerds, the best friend of the DWI Wrestling Podcast, you know, that sort of thing. I do it all. And I'm going to be joined by two guys who I don't do anything without. It's like, you know, don't leave home without it. You know, those old American Express commercials. I don't do podcasting without my good friends, PC Tunney and DJ, who have agreed to come along with me on this interesting journey. Guys, introduce yourselves real quick, if you don't mind. I'll start with Mr. Tunney. I'm going to start with you. Yeah.
I'm Mr. Tunney, and I would like you all to behave.
Very good. DJ, you want to jump on in here, buddy?
Yep, I'm the man with the award-winning and holy beard, DJ, and I encourage shenanigans.
What's up, Tony?
Well, I mean, that's just like Super Troopers, you know. Hey, Farva, what's that restaurant you like to go to?
This is the Attitude of Aggression, kind of, sort of, so there probably will be shenanigans on here. But what we're doing here in this show called an unidentified... Let me restart. What we're doing here in an unidentified history is a podcast focused on UAP, or also known as UFOs, as they used to be called, and then the government decided we need to be politically correct and change the name from UFO to UAP because people think UFOs, they think one thing. Let's get them away from that. And maybe if we call it something different, people will forget. Well, that didn't work out. So the premise of the show is kind of looking at some of the most important sightings in UFO history, and we'll get into that a little bit later on as to, you know, what we're doing, but to look at some of these most important UAP UFO sightings and events and see if maybe anything about that can help us figure some stuff out presently as we're going along here. And let me kind of give a little bit more background. And I think starting off this thing before we get into any of the more substantive stuff is to kind of give background for all three of us, how we kind of got into the subject of UAPs. And I want to preface this, and I'll go first. I want to preface this by saying that this is not Bandwagon Nerds. And we said this on an episode of Game Gone Wrong that we just recorded, which is our Game of Thrones based podcast, where we're going through the final season of Game of Thrones to see if it's as bad as everybody says. And so far, spoiler, but on that episode, I said that, you know, we were talking about them bringing direwolves back out of extinction. And I preface that by saying that this is not Bandwagon Nerds, where we talk about nerd culture and science fiction and anything fantastical. Whatever you believe, whether you're a skeptic or whether you're a believer, whether you think they're being visited by aliens or something different, the fact of the matter, and this is undisputed, is that UAPs are real. They are real. This is not made up. This is not science fiction. This is not some fantasy. The government has said there are things in the sky. We don't know what they are. Most of them can be explained, but there are some that we cannot explain. Now, that doesn't mean, now let me preface it, that does not mean that we, the three of us, are saying we're being visited by aliens from another world. Nobody knows what they are. All we know is that there's something going on that cannot be explained. And that's kind of the premise of this thing. And it's funny, like, guys, I've drawn the analogy that you remember when the WWE Network launched in 2014, right? And this is when all the podcasts started, is when we all jumped in, because Tony jumped in with DWI. DJ came in many years later with a Mindless Wrestling Podcast. And, well, not many years later, but a few years later, that sort of thing. But it was the network that was the gateway that enabled this boom of wrestling podcasts. Before the network, there were a handful of them, right? Post-network, there are tons of them. Now, a lot of them went by the wayside. They didn't have the lasting power that the three of us did. I feel like with UAPs, we are been at that tipping point again for a few years now, where everybody, including us, are jumping into this, and there's some very well-established UFO and UAP podcasts that have been in this thing for years, even before it kind of hit this mainstream, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. So it feels like this is the time to kind of get involved with this thing, but as kind of background as to what got me into this, I mean, you know, I'm a little bit old. DJ and I are the elder statesmen of the Chair Shot Radio Network. You know, we're the guys who are over 50, that sort of thing. So our take on this is a little bit different. But in 1977, right, Star Wars came out. But I think, was it 77 or was it 76 when Close Encounters came out? I think it was the same year, wasn't it?
Hold that thought and I'll get back to you.
Yeah, look that up. But I think Close Encounters of the Third Kind was kind of the movie that got me into this whole thing and really opened my eyes to, go ahead, Deej.
77.
So same year. So you've got this big convergence of stuff going on. You've got the Star Wars, which is completely fantastical. A galaxy far, far away. Jedi, Sith, good, evil, all that fun stuff. And that series has obviously lasted to the present day. Close Encounters was a very different sort of movie and was very, and it felt real, right? Anybody who's seen Close Encounters of the Third Kind can say that kind of felt real. There's real air traffic controllers talking about real incidents. There's real places. It's based on reality. The French guy who is like the scientist is based on a real person, Jacques Vallée, who I've read a lot of his stuff. Very influential in ufology, that sort of thing. So that kind of got me into it. And ever since I was a kid, man, the subject has fascinated me. And I never once stopped and thought, these things aren't really real. For me, I've always kind of accepted them as a real thing because as I grew older and I studied more on it, and I learned more about it. I'm like, either there's a bunch of people who are out of their goddamn mind or there's something to this. And you look at people nowadays, you've got military people coming out saying this is what's happening. People in the government with top secret clearance. This is what's happening. Are they all lying? What would be the motivation for them all to lie? So that's kind of how I got into it. And I've just studied that over the years and been very deeply entrenched with learning as much as I can about and paranormal stuff too. And I know DJ and I have talked about that this show will likely cover, we'll dip our toes into paranormal sorts of things. And because they're all cryptoids, that sort of thing. They're all kind of touching together. But Deej, let me go to you first. Because Tunney to me seems like the more grounded out of the three of us sort of thing, which, you know, Tunney's like me. Yes, you. But DJ, how did you get into this? What about this subject interests you?
Probably similar to yours, but coupled with the fact that my grandfather worked at the Space Center in Florida. Yeah, I grew up in Florida, and that fed my family. The space race fed my mother's family in the early days. He was in the first rocket to went into space, the first manned moon missions and all of that. So I've always been very fascinated by space in general, you know, just from the scientific aspect of it. But then as you think more broadly, you know, when we think about Earth and, you know, there's a belief that, okay, you're going to tell me, and I'll just lay it out there, that of the unmeasurable and uncountable number of stars and solar systems in the universe, that this planet is the only one that developed any type of life. And if that life, in scientifically, as we know how life evolves, you know, in intelligence and ingenuity and how we use that intelligence, there are planets potentially with intelligent life on them older than ours who have surpassed our understanding of science, our understanding of physics, and maybe they understand those things on a level higher than we do that are able to travel the stars, you know, and then maybe as a evolutionary species, we're still in our infancy. Whereas there are other beings out there that are able to traverse great, great distances. So I've always been very fascinated by that. And the space travel as we know it baffles me, you know, because you think of the moon. It's a 3-day trip to the moon at our current technological ability. And to me, that distance is it's mind-blowing to think about that. So to think about that there may be beings from literally billions of miles away visiting us is very fascinating to me. So I've always kind of, and then again, watching Close Encounters of the Third Time, watching different type of alien invasion movies and things like that. I've always been just, at least in the science fiction aspect of it, found it very fascinating. But I've always thought, what if, you know, what if this were possible?
Yeah. So before I get to Tony, I wanted to, you know, jump in a couple things you said. You're talking about the Fermi. I think it's Fermi. I don't know how you Fermi or
the Fermi paradox.
Yeah, where is what you're talking about? Which is realistically, if you think about, you look at when you think about the fact that when you look at the sky, you're only seeing a very small portion of the. There are more stars and planets and galaxies in the universe than there are grains of sand on the planet Earth. Now, think about that for a moment. If you are a lover of statistics and the law of probability and that sort of thing, it is a statistical impossibility, not improbability, impossibility that the exact circumstances that led to life on this planet did not replicate itself somewhere in the universe. It's impossible.
I'm going to let Tony say his piece, and then I've got something I want to paraphrase as far as that goes in a minute.
Yeah. I'm just saying that, you know, now the big thing is, like you were saying, DJ, if, and what most people say is, like, if that's true, and if they survive not wiping themselves out, like we are well on our path to doing, then yes, they could have evolved and become a more advanced species that has solved, you know, let me go to Tony first. Cause there's a lot of stuff we can talk about here, but Tony, you and I have never really, I know DJ's been into this stuff because we've kind of talked about it. Tony, I haven't really had a deep conversation with you about this other than when I first came up with this idea. And I told Tony, I said, I'd really like to do something UAP based. Would you and Greg be okay with it? Tony's like, do it. And I'll do it with you. And I'm like, okay. So, Tony, what about this topic of conversation interests you? Or how did you kind of get into it?
Well, a guy named Dave told me he wanted to do a podcast.
Tony likes content.
Yes.
I'll say this. We're the kings of this solar system. That's for sure. Unless there's species well hidden on other planets, just trying to make sure we don't know about them. So we don't drop by and say, hey, you hanging out? I'll hang out, you know, seeing what we're doing to our own planet, things of that nature. As far as outside of that, I think we have some very valued data with credibility, but I don't think we know a fucking thing.
No, that's fair. I don't think that, you know, the thing is there's stuff out there. Nobody knows what it is. And it very well could be interdimensional. I mean, they could, you know, the prevalent theories, they're either ETs, which have mastered either they figured out how to exceed light speed. And even that's problematic because even if you break the speed of light, you're still not capturing the distances involved, right? I mean, there's distances are so vast. Hey, you can go faster than the speed of light. Well, big fucking deal if you're still 36 million light years away. I can go faster than that. Okay, you're still 15 million light years away. So it's like, well, okay.
You're still talking about 15 million years before you get here.
So if they are from another civilization, another solar system, and I mean, I agree with you, Tony, that we are probably the kings of the solar system. Now, whether we really were born on Earth or whether we were brought here and left here by somebody else who then took off, that's another story entirely. But there's no evidence right now, no real suggestion. I mean, unless you... There's stuff on the moon, if you believe certain things, that raise some questions. There's stuff on Mars that, if you believe certain things, raise questions. But I think what you said in a nutshell is accurate. We are the kings of the solar system.
Well, and a lot of people believe that finally establishing a space station and a launching point and a place to like regroup and assess on Mars leads to exploring the rest of this very solar system first and foremost.
Sure. Sure. I mean, you got to. We don't have close to the capabilities right now to do anything other than, yeah, use Mars as a staging point and launch from there and see how far it can. And then you got to figure out, well, Jesus, the distances are so big. You basically have to like say, okay, Europa, Titan, one of these moons of Jupiter or Saturn that you would have to use as the next station, that sort of thing. But go ahead, Deej, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, there's a couple of things. One was we talk about life on Earth and how it evolved and whether or not we are alone, not only in the solar system, but the universe. I wish I could remember the exact quote word for word, and I wish I could credit where I saw it because we're going back about 15 years ago that I read this. They likened the process of life becoming life on Earth. Take a watch and completely disassemble it, put it in a box, shake that box up until you have a fully correctly reassembled watch. They said that is exactly the same statistic that it took for life to be created on Earth. Like I said, I'm way misquoting this, but that's the basis of what the quote was. And I found that very fascinating that this person, and what they basically were saying was, no, Earth is the only one. Because of what it would take for life to add. And again, we're going on science as we know it. And I need to preface that throughout the duration of this entire, whatever this becomes, science as we know it, you know, and that statistically there's no way that Earth or that life could be created anywhere else because I'm losing the word right now, but basically everything lined up perfectly for life. The distance from the sun, all the elements lining up in the creation of Earth when the solar system was young, everything coming together, the everything, the Goldie, the petri dish was perfect.
Goldilocks planet.
Pretty much.
Master plan, right? Like every other galaxy and solar system throughout the universe supports this main place that we stay in is a very good possibility.
Right.
And it leads to thoughts of, you know, creation then as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, my pushback on that is that, and I get what you're saying, it does assume that humans are the most intelligent species that there is. And I have a big problem with buying into the
thing. We obviously are not.
Because we can't take care of ourselves on our own planet.
Dave's met a lot of people on ChairShot Radio Network.
What's that?
You've met everybody on ChairShot Radio Network.
That does color my opinion a little bit.
There's no way.
But no, I think like what you're saying is it is easy to say, and the people who sit there and they say you can't breach the speed of light based on what? Because Einstein said so. What if Einstein was only had limited intelligence as well? We don't know like if the laws of physics have been breached somewhere else. We don't know if they figured out anti-gravity and all that sort of stuff. So when you say it's impossible because we can't do it, to me, it's like, well, that's dumb because you're just assuming that we are the be all end all of anything out in the universe. And
well, remember, 300 years ago, flying was impossible. 100 years ago, reaching the moon was impossible.
If you can go, you know, if you can go 100 years in the future from here and just get a glimpse for 5 minutes, you wouldn't believe what you were going to see if there's anything there at all. You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, the scientific leaps that we have made, and this was the other thing I was going to say, as it pertains, again, we're getting into bureaucracy and politics and everything like that, which I don't want to do on the show as much as possible.
You kind of can't avoid it with this.
You can't avoid it. It bothers me immensely that we have not been back to the moon in almost 50 years. Like that bothers me on a very big level because, again, being someone who grew up with a family who was supported by this and being someone who has followed this his entire life, how have we not in the last 40 years established a colony on the moon?
Because politically it hasn't been any political motive. And that's the main reason we went in the first place is because it was a race with Russia.
And that bothers me. Like that's our advancement.
Well, that and all the data kind of leads to like, there's not much there.
It's the staging ground to the next step.
Well,
I get that, but we're already having problems with Elon getting these rockets to come back down or rescuing people from the International Space Station that are only up there for 4 days.
But at least I'll say this about him. At least he's making headway. And that's and I don't want to put him over too much because I have my own issues with him politically. But from a technological standpoint, at least someone's out there trying. You know, people will argue, oh, we need to do more with it. You know, they have these billionaires spending their money on trying to get off Earth. Why don't they try and fix Earth? We're fucked here. You know, there's so much bullshit going on here that why would you invest your money trying to fix a planet that doesn't want to be fixed? And that's all I'll say in defense of that.
Sorry, fun sidestep. I won't do it again this episode. But have you guys driven past the Cybertruck?
Yes.
Yes, there are several of them in the neighborhood here.
God, they're ugly.
They are. They're ugly as shit. They really are.
I want to know what the sight lines are, though, on the inside when you're driving it. Because
you got to ask Seamus. I think Seamus has one.
Well, I am a big sight lines guy in a car. Like, I want to, turn. I don't need to, barely be able to see out of the fucking car.
And one of my favorite UAP podcasters, Jeremy Corbell, who we're going to talk about in a little bit, actually, he's got a Cybertruck. And I'm like, God, I don't know, man. Maybe there's some functionality to it. I mean, to me, it's like, well, that's like the Tumblr from Batman Begins with, but not as cool.
Listen, at PC Tunia on X, you know, follow me and DM me. I'll follow you back and respond. If you got one, I'd love to take it for a ride just to see. But you know, I feel like the sight lines as a driver are horrible.
The question about the moon is interesting and why we haven't gone back. And is it political? Is it because of the cost involved? Or there's a theory that they found stuff on the moon and maybe something was there and they told us, don't come back. You know, which it's like, well, you know, if there's something there and it's and they discovered it and they said, don't come back. This is ours. Get the fuck out of here. Now, I know China's got rovers on the dark side of the moon, which nobody's explored. And of course, China's not going to be sharing that information with anybody anytime soon. But
do you think China's actually getting that information, Dave? They're worried about a population decrease.
I don't know, man, because China's difficult because you look at it and everything you say is true. They have their own internal problems. Absolutely. They also are the first country with a sixth generation aircraft. And did you see the sixth generation Chinese aircraft?
I have not.
Dude, this thing doesn't even have a fucking tail. It's like,
wow.
You look at it, it's like it kind of has a Manta Ray sort of thing going on. There's no now they aren't putting this out on the battlefield and they aren't mass producing it, but they did march this thing out and showed it flying. And it's like, okay, this shit is fucking real. So China's Air Force now has a slighted, I mean, from that generation, you compare it to ours. Okay, that's more advanced, but are they going to be able to mass produce that? Probably not anytime soon, that sort of thing. But, you know, to get back to Tunney's question, does China have that information and what are they doing with it? Yeah, I think they've got that information. What they're doing with it, I have no idea. Or how they're processing it, or what they're doing. Russia's in the same situation. You know, you look at three nations that are, and a lot, and this kind of ties into some of what we're talking about is the general feeling. A lot of people think there's a different kind of Cold War going on between Russia, between the United States, between China. If you listen to Ross Coulthart, possibly Israel as well, they all think that they've got crash retrieval programs, that they have gone around collecting crash UFOs, UAPs, and are reverse engineering that tech in a way that is going to give them a leg up. Because, yeah, let's be honest. You know, we talk a lot about pro wrestling and that sort of thing and the infighting amongst the IWC and that. And you get the same thing between skeptics and non-believers. The difference is with UAPs, the stakes are immensely higher than anything. Like, wrestling's fun. It's entertainment. It's sports entertainment. That's one thing. If this stuff is true and UAPs represent non-human intelligence, and I'm not saying aliens, let me preface that. It's not necessarily aliens, but it's something else sharing this planet that isn't us. That's the biggest story in the history of mankind. Agreed? I think all three of us would say that's the biggest story in the history of mankind. If there's something else here that is not us and is sharing our space with us, that's it. So the stakes are much higher in that regard. But yeah, it's interesting when you take all this stuff into consideration. Now, I'm glad we're having this conversation because, you know, and that's what I kind of wanted to get this out in this introductory episode is like kind of get a barometer as to where we think about and what we think about this issue, because it is critically important. And any UAP based podcast you listen to will tell you that this is the biggest story in the history of mankind. If it's true and these aren't us. Yes, if they're from another solar system, another galaxy, another planet, it's monumental. If they're interdimensional, that's probably just as monumental. If they're time travelers, oh my God. So you're telling me time travel is real. If they're Atlanteans, you know, go figure. It's a fascinating concept. And so, like, before we move on, let me kind of give background as to kind of where the fork in the road came with UAPs, if you guys don't mind me giving a little history lesson. You guys are
no, go for it.
Okay. So for years, you know, and I mean, most people think that all the stories started in 1947 with Kenneth Arnold and the flying saucer sighting in Mount Rainier, Washington, the nine kind of batarang looking things. And that's where the term flying saucer came from. Then Roswell happened. And then the government decided, let's investigate this. And Project Blue Book came out, which was a fucking joke. And they buried the whole lead on this thing. And it kind of stayed that way for many years, despite the fact that there's still all these sightings going on. You know, you got there's incidents in like Iran where a fighter pilot tried to engage a UFO and had all of his instruments shot down. A Peruvian pilot actually shot on a UFO, didn't do any damage. So you've got all these sightings going on around the world. You've got, you know, Rendlesham Forest, you got Kecksburg, you got Betty and Barney Hill, the abduction and all that shit going on. And all this stuff, you got the Phoenix Lights in 1997, which unfortunately Greg didn't live there at that time. I asked him that recently. Tony's like, did you live there for that? He's like, no, I wasn't there yet. So you've got all these things going on, but it's not till 2017 when everything kind of changes. And that's kind of like, in my opinion, kind of the WWE network analogy. 2017, the New York Times, Leslie Keene, Ralph Blumenthal, Helene, I'm forgetting her damn name, and I apologize to her for doing this. Sorry.
Farfignugan?
No, not Farfignugan, but they break the story on the New York Times about the fact that although the government had denied, had said, we haven't looked into UFOs since Project Blue Book ended in like 68. What you discover is that there's a multi-billion dollar black budget program going on. They've been investigating UAPs and UFOs the whole damn time. Then a few years later, you get the footage, or actually, I think it's at the same time they got this story, the three videos were leaked that have become world famous. One of them is the Tic Tac where they show it, and all the stuff, you guys have seen all these videos, I'm sure. It's the FLIR footage where they show the Tic Tac rotating, the guys commenting. There's the Go Fast one where they get the auto tracking around the thing going fast. We got it. And this thing's like zooming across what you presume is water. And there's a third video as well. And ever since then, the atmosphere changed on UAPs. And then suddenly people started taking them seriously. Then 2021 is when the United States finally comes out and says, these videos that you've seen are authentic. No, we don't know what they are. And that blew the door wide open. Now, all of a sudden, we're not talking science fiction anymore. This isn't fantasy. This is real. These guys are admitting they're real and they don't know what they are. Now, granted, since then, the government has done everything they can. Well, not everything they can, but a lot of things they can to suppress this. They set up an ARRO, which I don't remember what the acronym stands for, but they investigated this. Sean Kirkpatrick was the director. He came out and basically said, oh, there's nothing here. Most people think bullshit. That sort of thing. But that's kind of where things have evolved from. And now you're at the point where this is mainstream, right? We had the hearings in July of 2023. We had the first big, I mean, they had a hearing before that. But in July of 2023, you had at least three whistleblowers came out. David Fravor, who was the fighter pilot who engaged the Tic Tac UFO off the coast of San Diego in 2004. You had Ryan Graves, who also engaged a similar thing on the East Coast. I'm not sure when that happened. And then you had David Grush. And Grush was the most significant whistleblower in history because he basically came out. And the thing about it is Grush had top secret clearance. Now, it's important to preface for anybody new to this, listening to this episode, saying, what are these guys talking about? Grush did not have firsthand knowledge. He never saw this. He never, you know, put his hands on anything. But he had top secret clearance and talked to all sorts of people who basically said there's a crash retrieval program. They've retrieved craft. They've retrieved non-human biologics. In other words, something was piloting these things. They weren't humans. He said this in front of in a congressional hearing. And then he told Congress, the Pentagon's hiding shit from you as well. And oh my God, the floodgates at that point opened up and everybody started jumping on this thing. It's like, oh my, is this real? And of course, you know, interestingly enough, David Grush's medical records got leaked. Wow, coincidental. HIPAA, what's that? You know, we had some stuff about him having PTSD from his time in the military. So he had that going on. This opened the door to a lot of stuff. You know, more videos came out. More people started leaking. Whistleblowers started to want to come forward. Now, of course, the natural reaction is why? Why would you guys come forward? You know, why now of all times? And maybe because they, you know, a lot of them say, I got tired of the lies. This is a national security threat. A lot of people thinking we've had a lot of near midair collisions with these things. Nobody's talking about this thing. They are invading our airspace. They're threatening national security. Something is going on. Nobody's telling anybody about it. I need to come forward with this thing. Fast forward to earlier this year, 2025, you got another whistleblower named Jake Barber who comes out. He's talking about crash retrieval. He's actually retrieved these crashes himself. We get the video of the helicopter with the egg, whatever you want to think of it. It's not the most compelling video in the world, but it is something. And then Jake starts this stuff called Skywatcher, which we'll talk about in just a moment. But that's kind of like where we went, you know, from 2017 to now, it's just been this flood of information. And this stuff has gotten mainstream attention. They had a second congressional hearing in last November, where you had Immaculate Constellation was talked about for the first time, a secret Pentagon program, which is basically like a collection of all the best UFO UAP data available, stuff that we're never going to see. Go ahead, Tony.
Do you feel like, you know, we had a lot of these things happen that weren't necessarily like, you know, aerial phenomenons, but like plane crashes and stuff that are skeptical? Trump releasing a lot of like the Kennedy data stuff is to like kind of, hey, let's get the public's attention off of that. Let's release this old stuff, right? Let's like they're releasing a lot of classified information like immediately in his presidency. And I'm not saying it's good or bad, but it could, you know, and good administrations when they need to divert and, you know, move away, they'll do things like that. Do you think that's involved in any way?
I know Trump wanted to release all that information, and he's been wanting to do that for a while. Now the relevant question is
Roswell and everything too, right?
You what's know, that?
Like Roswell and everything too, right?
I mean, it'd be nice if they would, but to me, it feels like, and DJ, jump in here, man, because you know Tunney's brought up a good point. UAP seem to be a more closely guarded secret than anything because of the implications that it creates. That the common feeling is that there's still a feel, and I talked to my wife about this, and it's like for years it's been the belief that society in general would not be able to accept the fact that we are not alone in the universe. And I'm like thinking at this point, we've been conditioned by Hollywood to basically accept the fact that we're not alone in the universe, that we're not. If they're not telling us something, then either A, they don't really know what it is, or B, they know and it's worse than we can imagine, and they don't want to tell us that. What do you think about that, Deej?
I think they don't have a real clear answer, and they may be looking at it from at this point, and I agree with you, we have been conditioned at this point to believe something's out there. And if something's out there, it's either one, going to try and come down and assimilate with us, or it's going to try and destroy us. You know, and in either way, I don't think hiding it at this point makes any sense. So I think really a lot of this, like Tunney alluded to, the government, some of this being diversionary, you know, let's give them something to talk about so that they're not talking about this. So we give them just enough we dangle the carrot enough just so they kind of pay attention to this for a little while. If there's truly something out there, I don't think the government really knows fully what it is. If there's something that intelligent, and if it's something that is monitoring us, like think of this like a hunter, or not even a hunter, someone who observes wildlife, like you like these Wild America shows and Planet Earth and things like that. If you just make your announcement out in the woods, well, shit's going to scatter. You know, it's not going to let you kind of invade its natural environment and collect video, collect data, collect all these things. If we're being observed, you have to think that an intelligent species is going to do the same thing. It's going to infiltrate quietly. It's going to infiltrate under the cover of camouflage, and it's going to watch quietly because it wants to know what we are, who we are, what we're about, and how we're evolving. Like we do all the species on this planet.
What if it's a Men in Black thing, like they're already here, like, and all Lears are the ones, and like it's Simpsons that make fun of it, it's Kang, you know, and everything else. And
that's entirely a possibility.
Right. Like,
but then you're opening up a whole discussion.
Well, that you back down the path, the devil's in the details, you know, like all that. You're going religion and everything else too. So no. Psychology, et cetera.
There's a significant likelihood that not only are they here and among us, that they've probably been here a while, or at least a form of them
fucking have. Fucking Skrulls. Skrulls. Monday morning, church. I read it.
That's right. They're all Skrulls.
God damn with his cheap plugs.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing. You take it to the other extreme, and we sit there at the one extreme asking, are we alone in the universe? Is there anything else out there? The other extreme is like, oh, no. Not only are we not alone, but there's seven different species of non-human things mixing around with us right now that we don't even know about. That's the other extreme. And that's a possibility as well, that it may not just be one thing. There may be multiple species. And I want to talk Skywatcher a little bit, but I wanted to tie something. And that's why I wanted to do this show, because like we're sitting there trying to figure this stuff out. There's stuff buried in history and some of these sightings that we're going to talk about as we go along. That sure, Roswell has been, you know, we'll get to Roswell, and my God, that's probably a 2-part episode. And everybody's dissected Roswell to the nth degree. But there's stuff we're going to talk about that hasn't really been looked at as deeply. And it's like, well, is there something there that may have been missed? That knowing what we know now with this new flood of information and the new sort of identification that's going on, is there something there that we should have maybe been looking at that wasn't identifiable previously, that it's like, oh, hey, wait a second, you know, that sort of thing. Tony, what's up?
Talk about the pyramids is pretty hot right now.
Right? You beat me to it, man. I had that right on the...
Let's talk about
that. Right in there.
The fact that there's the descent below the pyramids is ridiculous, with tunnels and chambers and like a whole shaft going deep. Yeah. And the fact that there's a whole water table underneath the pyramids as well.
Yeah. Now, you want to get into a real contentious discussion. Talk about the pyramids, Giza pyramids, and the dispute, the dissension, the disagreement, you know, where you've got these ground penetrating radar, and I'll look it up exactly who these guys were, suggesting that there are cylindrical structures extending 600 meters below the Giza plain, you know, the pyramids, wrapped in coil, 600 meters. That's what, a mile? 2 miles? I don't even know the conversion. It's way down there. If that's true, and the pyramids are sitting on top of these things, here's the thing. We didn't make them. Ancient man.
It's like a third of a mile.
Yeah. We didn't make them. Ancient man didn't have the technology to do that. And I say that, and we'll get into it in a minute, because I know DJ wants to jump in on this thing. But then you've got the skeptics saying, bullshit, this ground penetrating radar can't go down that far. You know, like Tony's saying, there's a water table. We know there's a water table underneath the pyramids. How could this thing penetrate through that? Mr. Beast sat there and fucking swam in these things. How do you get through that water table to even identify this stuff? Meanwhile, the guys who did this technology are adamant that this is accurate and they will prove it. If this is true, and I'll put this to you, DJ, if it's true and these things are truly under the pyramid, does it rewrite history as we know it?
Oh, it absolutely does. And I think, you know, not even all that stuff notwithstanding, look at the construction of the pyramids themselves. The mathematics, the technology to do that, the human ability to do that didn't exist back then. What are the each individually, what are these blocks? They're several tons each. You know, we didn't have cranes. The best we had were tree logs that they could have lined maybe 15 to 20 up and, you know, pushed them along tree logs and made some type of pulley system to move those along. But the mathematical ingenuity that went into these things, about 20 years ago, I went to Cancun on vacation with my ex-wife. We went to the Mayan ruins at Chichen Itza, and the pyramid at Chichen Itza at the time, you were still able to climb that. They've since roped it off and it's not available to be climbed at this point. But they were going into the history of the build of Chichen Itza. And at the base of the pyramid on all four corners, there are serpent heads, or there were. I don't know if they've survived the time or not, but there are serpent heads. And the way this was designed, again, we're talking even, we're going back thousands upon thousands of years. When the sun hits that pyramid the right way, the shadows of those serpent heads move, and they mathematically designed it that way from scratch. And the neat thing about the pyramid of Chichen Itza is it's built over a pre-existing pyramid that's even older than that one. So, you know, who built these things? Because, again, like I said at the beginning of this little rant, we didn't possess the ability or the capability to do that, you know, 5,000 years ago.
You talk about Stonehenge too, right? Like there's no
Stonehenge, Easter Island.
There's no rock like that within 1,000+ miles.
Or like in Bolivia, Puna Punku. I don't know if you guys have heard about this thing. DJ's not.
You're coming down with something?
Yeah, exactly.
It sounds a little dirty, Dave.
It sounds kind of like a sexual favor, sort of.
Hey, ladies.
I'm going to go run that one by the girlfriend later. Okay, can we, you know.
Well, stage, Dirty Dave. He's my cherry pie. Cool drink of water. Such surprise.
These things, they've got these big, huge, like granite, you know, I mean, they're like stone structures. Some of them are shaped like an H with machine laser precision that they were carved or cast. I don't know. There's no rock quarry within 6 miles of this site, and it's all uphill. And it's all in the middle of the Bolivian desert. How'd you get there? And I mean, I made the comment to somebody on X when I started getting into this stuff saying, yeah, the first episode of Ancient Aliens talks about this. And of course, the skeptics come in and they say, well, there's a system that they use to, you know, basically you could use water and a chemical composition to make these rocks, you know, and shape them. And like, how the fuck would they have known that? Oh, it's pretty common knowledge to people 6,000 years ago. It's common knowledge that they would have just figured this. Now, look. Granted, we may not be giving our ancestors the credit that they deserve, but there's a limit to it when you look at it and say modern technology could not do this.
There was no cell phone streaming back in the day, Dave. There was no.
Where's my YouTube video? How to carve this shit?
There was no death scrolling. You didn't have a job. You just had to fucking survive. So maybe.
Have you guys heard, and I know we're kind of rambling here a little bit, but it goes into the ingenuity of the time. Have you heard about the crystal skulls? And I'm not talking about that horrible Indiana Jones movie, but the actual archaeological crystal skulls. They do exist. They've found, I believe, two of them. One of them, I believe, is in a museum somewhere. Again, we're talking laser precision on the chiseling of these. They didn't possess the tools when these things were made. And it's just a fascinating read. Like, I want to do a little more research on it because, again, I first learned about these when we went to Chichen Itza 20-something years ago. So I want to do a little more research on that. But I think that's an episode that we could dedicate just to talking about those crystal skulls.
Oh, anything you guys want to talk about on this show is fair game to me, man. But, yeah, I mean, either if there are cylinders, and I got this, so it was a let me read this to you. So a research team from the University of Pisa Leaning Tower of Pisa. These are Italian scientists led by Professor Curado Malanga, claims they've used radar pulses to detect the vast underground complex beneath the pyramids of Giza. They believe they're 2,100 feet beneath the pyramid.
Wow.
If that's true. No, not yet. You can put the tower, lean it the other way, Tony. Lean it. There you go. Thank you. If that's true, then yeah, it rewrites history because we didn't do that. And either we had help doing it. Did the aliens or whoever, did they build it or did they give us the technology to do it? I don't know. But if that's true and that's proven to be true, you can basically forget everything that you know about human history because it's not what we thought. And something different happened and we were made to forget. Now, if we had technology like that, you know, all those thousands of years ago, where the fuck did it go? And why don't we remember any of it? Tony.
Telephone game.
A century, millennium old game of telephone where, hey, this is how you do it. And by the time you get to it, it's like, I got to rub two sticks together to make fire.
We should totally consistently reference The Simpsons on this show, considering like their kind of predictions of the future and like Purple Monkey Dishwasher. If you're a Simpsons fan, you know that phrase because it's the telephone game being played on The Simpsons. So history, like written and orally passed along. Yeah, okay. It's a good time to mention
I was going to say you said oral.
I'm still attitude of aggression. I think, you know, like a lot of things are lost in translation. Great Bill Murray, Scarlett Johansson movie. But yeah, that's just where I'm at. Lost in translation.
Are you watching the total package? What are you doing, DJ?
No, I found something.
The total package.
No. We were talking about that, and you were talking about how did we forget all this technology? It just jogged something. I found something because as we talk about this shit, the algorithms do their things, and it linked me to something a few weeks ago about the theory that suggests that there was an extinction-level event globally in the 1980s, like right around 1988, and I was looking for that as you guys were talking, because I was going to share that with you guys in the chat thread.
I mean, hair metal? Was that what it is?
Yes, yes. It was absolutely the release of the Slippery When Wet album. In fact, that was the world-ending event. Everything goes back to Bon Jovi. Yeah. Why?
Tag Bon Jovi. At Bon Jovi. Everybody tag Bon Jovi.
When was Mount St. Helens?
80?
1984, I think.
Okay, I thought that
might have been 1980.
And so the theory is that, you know, I mean, there's the other option, the thing that nobody really wants to talk about, but some people do. And I don't know, but the whole simulation theory thing that the Matrix is real, we're really living in a simulation. And are these things either glitches in the Matrix or the program correcting itself somehow? And what we're seeing is
there's so many fascinating avenues we could go down with this.
I mean, if some listening, make my life better then, goddammit.
Yeah, you want to be Cypher.
I want to be somebody famous.
You want to be rich.
Like an actor.
I know that this steak doesn't exist, but fuck it.
I'd also like to apologize for taking the Lord's name in vain.
Yeah, exactly.
I've taken it in vain like 8 times today. I quit apologizing.
A couple of things I want to do before we get out of here and kind of set the stage for what happens next is... Tony was talking about the JFK files, and I want to talk about I think this show is going to mirror the Big Five Project. For all, if you're a UAP fan and you're not a pro wrestling fan, you won't know what the hell we're talking about. If you're both, great, you will. The Big Five Project is our chronological review of the Big Five events in WWE history with a few side quests coming up down the pike. But we started at WrestleMania 1. We've covered them all up to WrestleMania 11. At the beginning of all those episodes, we usually touch upon the current product. We talk about what's happening in pro wrestling.
Sorry, guys.
Wow. I mean, I'm aroused. But anyway, we hear this stuff about what's going on in the current pro wrestling scene, and then we get into the historical stuff, and that's kind of what I envision for this. Talk about what's happening in the UAP world presently, and then we'll get to the historical stuff. This week, there are a couple of big things that happened in UAP that I want to talk about, and then we'll get on out of here for this first episode. But Jeremy Corbell and George Knapp. I know, DJ, you're watching Investigation Alien right now, which is the George Knapp show on Netflix.
Yes.
You and I have had some conversations about the first episode. I don't know if you finished it yet or not, about the cattle mutilation, and which that's its own, you know, you talk about weird stuff that doesn't make sense.
That's a whole discussion.
It is, because that doesn't make sense. These aren't predators. These things are happening. They're taking specific body parts. There's no blood. So either it's vampires, you know, I mean, I don't know, but
Vampire Chupacabra,
something in the middle of nowhere. Huh?
It's Abraham Lincoln.
Vampire Hunter.
I mean, dude, professional pro wrestling Hall of Fame.
Abraham Lincoln's in the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. Is he really?
He's in the Wrestling Hall of Fame.
He is. He's in the wrestling. He was a wrestler. Was he? Was a shoot wrestler.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he was a shooter.
All right. Well, we'll have to touch bases on that some other time. I don't know. You know, I just know he was the 16th president and a model American. Damn fine American.
Dave Forrest Gump 7 years ago. You got pinned, bitch.
What I want to say is, like, this week, so Jeremy Corbell and George Knapp, and I know DJ, just trust me, Investigation Alien is really good. You'll enjoy that. But these guys have broken a lot of stories, and I love they take journalism seriously on this. They really vet their sources. They take this seriously. George Knapp has been reporting in Vegas for years. He's the one who broke the first stories on Bob Lazar, who kind of broke the story about Area 51. Whether you believe it or not, we're not going to get into that right now. But George and Jeremy released some video that was leaked to them off the coast of Southern California from 2023 in around the same area where the Tic Tac video was taken in 2004. And they got more Tic Tacs on this video. Now, the video, if you watch the video on the YouTube, it's all FLIR footage, which is infrared based off heat signatures. If you're looking for that crystal clear definitive proof of a UFO, it's like, goddamn, there it is. This is not for you. That, you know, good luck finding that. But it is interesting when you listen to the reactions of the military guys involved who are talking about they're tracking four of these objects coming out of the water. You know, so we got USOs, unidentified submersible objects. They come out of the water. They exhibit transmedium capabilities, which means you can go from water to air seamlessly, no problem. They track all these things on these FLIR radar sort of thing. I think it's called Sapphire is the system that they use. And they all take off at the same time. So like one of the military guys is saying, it's clear they were communicating with each other or something was communicating with them. It's a time to go. They all left at the same time. That's really compelling stuff to get and you know, listen to the weaponized podcast with Jeremy and George. They do a great job explaining this, but to get kind of what Tunney was saying about the Trump stuff, a lot of people like Christian Harloff is another guy I listened to Down to Earth, I think is the name of his UAP based podcast. He was saying that this stuff is really compelling. And if that's the case, then this task force that Anna Paulina Luna set up, they need to forget this JFK stuff and switch their focus to this, because this is much more important. And I tend to agree with him. As interesting as the Kennedy stuff is, it's like, okay, the CIA lied to us 60 years ago. John's dead. Nothing's going to change that. The fact that the government lied to us, okay, tell me something I don't know. You know, that sort of thing. Yes, you want to get to the bottom of it, but isn't this more important to like shift your focus? Okay. Kennedy stuff can wait. He's been dead for 60 years. This is happening right now and is world changing, and we need to understand this better. Don't you think it would make more sense to shift your focus to the UAP stuff if you've got not a smoking gun, but compelling real evidence like this? And I'll go to you first, Deej. No, actually, I'll go to Tunney first, because you brought up the Trump thing. Don't you think that if that, and I don't know if you guys have seen the footage yet or listened to Jeremy talk about it or listened to the military guys, it's clear something's going on off the coast of Southern California. That's been evident for a long time now. It is a UFO, UAP, USO, whatever you want to call it, hotspot. Something's happening out there. It happened in 2004. It happened in 2019. This is off like the Jackson, I think, is the military vessel involved. So you've got 21-year history of something happening out there. Don't you think, Tunney, with this coming out just this week, they should be looking at that instead of the Kennedy stuff?
You know, especially American politics, and maybe, like you said before, for our own good, especially in certain circumstances, is a business of show to misdirect us, right? So who knows? Like, the rabbit hole is strong here, is it not?
It's very deep.
You know, so I don't really have much more to add to that. You know what I mean?
The dogs are upset.
Yeah, they approve. They approve. They're saying, hey, big dog, settle down.
Yeah, big dog, where's my dire wolf at? That's what they're kind of saying. Deej, what do you think, man? Should our focus be there, or should we be digging
up all this? It absolutely should. Aside from, you know, the general public going, yeah, we kind of knew that the CIA has been lying to us for years. What do we gain from a revealing the Kennedy stuff? It's interesting that you bring up California being the hotbed, because it's been going on longer than 20 years. The Battle of Los Angeles was in 1942, Dave. Wow. And I know we're not going to get into that, but that's something that you did want to talk about somewhere down the road.
It is. And I'm glad you mentioned that. I will explain that in a moment. That is an excellent segue, DJ. We will. It's been. Yeah. I mean, there's lots of stuff like Catalina Island. We went there. The stretch between the mainland and Catalina Island is lots of speculation. There's an undersea base there, but so the dogs interrupted me. So I'm understanding you saying you think that we should be shifting our focus. Kennedy's fine and great, but we need to look at this.
Correct, because it, revealing what actually happened to Kennedy literally alters nothing in the grand scheme of mankind. They lied to us. We know next.
Right.
It literally is. That's the progression of that entire story.
Right. And this is a story that changes our perception of everything. I mean, they need
changes the course of human history.
It does. They need to be focusing that. So I urge everybody to check out, you know, Weaponized with Jeremy Corbell and George Knapp. It's an excellent podcast. And I'll give a few more recommendations while we're here. Just kind of like stuff that I like that I find very interesting. I talked about Christian Harloff's show. That UFO podcast, Andy, Scottish guy, he's great. He sounds like I can't do AJ's imitation of Drew McIntyre, but he's got that sort of thing going on. Ton of you'd appreciate it. He's a good guy, and he's a wrestling and an MCU fan. I've actually direct messaging him a couple times and he's responded. So, definitely recommend that. There's some other good ones like, Cosmosis used to be called the UFO Rabbit Hole. It's a little bit more out there, that sort of thing, you know, a little bit more, I wouldn't say fantastical, but just dealing with a different aspect of the phenomenon. You know, and that's the other thing I wanted to say before I get into the last. Well, actually, this ties into this. So the other thing that happened this week is Skywatcher released part two of their video series. Skywatcher is a new organization that basically was set up by Jake Barber. He's one of the whistleblowers. We talked about him earlier, the guy who recovered the egg. Jake also, in his 2.5 hour interview with Ross Coulthart from News Nation, talked about when they retrieved one of these objects that he felt this feminine presence, you know, coming over him. And there's a lot that they do with the psionic side of things, which is kind of like the mental ability of people, you know, whether you get into remote viewing or telepathy or that sort of thing. But there's a belief, or at least some of them say, that there's a psionic way to kind of contact these beings, that sort of thing. Now, you know, whether you buy into that, Tony's not buying it, but
no. I just wanted to add, I felt plenty of female presence covering over me.
God damn. yeah, I mean, there is that. But
here come the pups. They're back.
You guys get your dire wolf fix. What's up, Tony? Are you going to ring the bell for yourself? He's got his microphone up. So there you go. There you
go.
If you're unfamiliar with the Attitude of Aggression podcast, this is what we do. We take some stuff seriously until it's time to not take stuff seriously, and then we go off the rails.
Oh, yes.
That's a goddamn tea, DJ.
There's usually some alcohol involved.
There usually is. But, you know, it's funny when, like, I've listened to, like, that UFO podcast where they talk about this whole psionic aspect, and people listening to this says, you know, I'm fine with the crash retrievals and the alien bodies, but the second you start talking about some sort of mental connection, they check out. And I'm like, you know, it's like that scene from in Endgame where Hulk's trying to do time travel and they're talking about it. It's like, you're talking time travel. Either all of it is a joke or nothing is. And that kind of feels like the same thing with this. It's like, either you're going to consider it all a joke, or you've got to consider all of it as being potentially valid. But anyway, Skywatcher Part 2 came out. And these guys have a couple of different technologies that they're using. One of them is what they call the dog whistle, which is some sort of machine technology. I don't know the details. They haven't released the details. I'm guessing it emits some sort of frequency because, you know, if you watch Skinwalker Ranch, you know that there's like a 1.6 megahertz frequency that seems to be the sweet spot for weird stuff happening. So maybe they're doing that. But they say 100% of the time when they turn this dog whistle on, UAP show up. There's the other part of it, which is the psionics, which is like the human guys who can meditate. And I hate the fact that they use the word summon as if these things can be summoned. You know, I like the word communicate. you know, you're communicating with something, but these things don't have to show up, and it's not like you can force them. It's like, what is this, Final fucking Fantasy? You can't summon these things, but I get what they're trying to say. But this video has classified 9 different types of UAP, and they've got most of them on video. And it's an interesting watch to look at some of this stuff. And a lot of people are like, oh, these are all Mylar balloons. And I'm like, Mylar balloons in the middle of the desert. I don't think that that's pretty accurate. How are you going to stabilize that and film those? These don't look like balloons because they're all filmed in daylight. One of them, like I think I mentioned to you, DJ, one of them is like a manta ray, which looks just like the thing that flew by the plane in that one video from.
Yes.
It's like, I looked at it, it's like, that looks exactly like a manta ray video. They got the jellyfish UAP, which is like, what the fuck is that? If that's real, then that almost looks like a living organism, not a craft, which leads you to, is this like Nope, where you've got something like that we think is a UAP, but it's really some undocumented creature that's living out there? Because you look at this thing like, what the fuck is that thing? 9 different kind of UAP. The Tic Tacs don't look anything like balloons, so fuck off on that point. You know, so that's real. And it sounds like some of these UAP aren't exactly friendly with each other. Like they interfere. Like there's one guy who says he went up in a helicopter to try and get a better look. All the instruments are working fine, but he couldn't get the helicopter to fly higher. That just something was stopping it. So they're thinking our communications are being jammed by one of these things, but one of the other ones is trying to help us. So what the fuck does that all mean? You know, it goes back to what we're saying. Are there multiple species living here? Are they flying around in different sorts of things? Are some of them adversarial to us and others are trying to protect us? It's a very interesting watch. Skywatcher is doing some really unique sort of things. They got the website up, skywatcher.ai. It's worth checking out. I don't know if you guys saw that video or not, or checked any of it out. It's like 20 minutes. Did either of you guys watch it?
I haven't had a chance yet, no.
You guys are a lot of help.
I am. I'm such a knowledgeable co-host here.
Started this episode.
I know. I kind of dropped this on these guys. They're like, sure, let's do it. But I would say go and check it out, man. I mean, yes, the footage, it's interesting. Is it that smoking gun, that definitive proof that these skeptics keep saying that they want? And they'll be the first to dismiss this. Oh, well, it's not definitive proof. It's not scientific. It's blah, blah, blah. It's strong evidence. I mean, we've convicted people and put people to death for less than this. As a lawyer, I can tell you, as an attorney, people have been put to death or on death row based solely on circumstantial evidence. The truth.
I would argue we took the giant squid as gospel. Or as a myth until we actually got one on tape, actually got one on video. Like mariners would talk about it for centuries. There's a giant squid. And we chalked it up like the Loch Ness monster. And then one day we saw one, you know, we knew they were out there, but until we saw it, it wasn't real.
Right. I mean, you know, the whole notion that dinosaurs are extinct, all of them. What about these rumors about the Congo Basin, Brontosaurus or Loch Ness monster could be a plesiosaur or Megalodon could be lurking in the depths. So I don't know, you know, that sort of thing, but it's all fantasy until it's not anymore. Right.
But it's a fun topic to kick around.
Yeah.
I'll just briefly the dinosaur subject that DNA lives in birds, period.
And crocodiles. Birds and
birds and lizards.
That's right. That's right. There are remnants of that all over the place. So, yeah, I mean, and again, I go back to what I said at the outset, either everybody who's seen these things are mental or there's something more to it. I mean, I never even bothered to ask. I've never seen one. I've seen a few things in the sky that I was like, what the hell was that? But nothing I would be willing to go on record and saying, yeah, I saw a UFO. You guys ever seen one?
I have not. Definitively, I can tell you now.
Tony?
Only at the bottom of a bottle.
I don't know if that qualifies, but
it doesn't.
Okay.
It's more of an SNL, you know.
You guys know anybody who says they've seen one?
Not.
No. I can't say that I've met anybody.
And people who've actually, like, if you talk to people who've actually seen them, it's life-altering for them. You know, there's no doubt in their mind what they've seen, and it changes their perspective on everything. So, yeah, I urge you guys, check out that Skywatcher video. See what you think of it. Maybe for next time, you know, get back to me. Let me know what you think. I mean, are you sold? Are you like, that's odd, but it's nothing definitive. The Tic Tacs are like, okay, that looks like something I've seen before. The other ones are like hornets and jellyfish and manta rays. The blob, the pink thing in the middle of the sky like that. It's like, that does look a little out of place, that sort of stuff. But I'm going to conclude this so we can get out of here by talking about, DJ mentioned the Battle of 1942. And when we come back for an unidentified history, when we actually get into not the introductory episode, when we talk about the historical side of things, we are going to start with the Battle of 1942. And I'll tell you guys why. And yes, there's been sightings of UFOs for many years before that. I mean, there's like the rumor, I think it was like 1897, about an airship. They called it an airship. I don't know what that means. They called it an airship crashing into a weather vane in Texas. And they even said that they buried the alien body in a well somewhere, and that the well contaminated, the water coming out of the well is all contaminated. You could have started there. There's other stuff that happened in the early 1900s before 1942. I want to start with the Battle of Los Angeles, because this quite possibly was the first mass UFO sighting in American history. And I think that's as good a place as any to start. It's something that, you know, I mean, it's one of the most iconic UFO photographs of all time, right? That photo of the Battle of Los Angeles, with all the spotlights shining on that one object. And yes, we'll talk about it when we get to that episode. That image has been touched up considerably, no doubt. But those spotlights are still shining on something that's out there. And we're opening fire 1,400 rounds and we hit nothing. It's like Predator, where they open fire. We fired all this stuff. We got nothing. No blood, no bodies, nothing. And I think it's a fascinating place to start this conversation about what's really going on. Because this is 5 years before Roswell. This is 5 years before Kenneth Arnold says flying saucer. So something's happening. And there's a few of these cases that we'll talk about before we get to 1947, which is, Tony, it's the equivalent of getting to 1997. In the Big Five, it's the Attitude Era for UFOs.
Just please, for fuck's sake, man! I mean, we're inducting fucking 97 WrestleMania match into fucking Hall of Fame this year. Let's fast forward.
Nope, you got to stick with King of the Ring '95. So
okay, fine.
But I think we're going to do that on the next episode. We'll go there and we'll see what else. We'll see what's broken loose in that. I mean, will they call a task force meeting? David Grush is now part of Eric Burleson's staff. So they're going to do some sort of skiff. Every time I hear that thing, state compensation insurance fund? No, it's a security thing where they get everybody in a room. Grush is going to be there. Lou Elizondo, who's one of the big guys who kind of broke stories on UAPs, he's going to be involved. It's the first time Grush has been in a secured setting where he can probably tell. Because if you watch these hearings, they're always like, you know, it's like, yeah, I'd love to tell you, but I can't. And it's frustrating for people. I get that. It's frustrating. Why are we having these hearings to tell people, say, I can't tell you? I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you. That sort of thing. So we'll see what happens. But on the next time we get together for an unidentified history, we are going to look at DJ's, what DJ had mentioned, the Battle of Los Angeles, February of 1942. It's a fascinating and interesting event in the history of ufology and UAPs. And we'll see if maybe we can glean anything from that based on what we know now, and see if there's any clues there that maybe there's more to this than anybody thought back then.
I'll do my best Christian Slater and glean the cube, Dave.
As long as you're it's not... probably time to call it.
Yeah. Tony's making Christian Slater references, skateboarding. It's like Tony Hawk, that sort of thing. So, guys, I want to thank you for letting me talk as much as I did here today. I hope in some small way, because I know I'm more into this stuff. I know you guys are into it, but not kind of like I am, because I'm weird. But hopefully I educated you guys a little bit and you learned a little something here today.
I did. Dave, you set the table for what I think is going to be a great series that we're about to run here. Like I said at the start of my beginning of the episode, I'm fascinated by this. I have not done the deep diving that you have. I'm looking forward to doing that now and discussing that with you guys.
Tony, how do you feel about this? Are you like, I'm going to find somebody to jump in on this for me?
No, I just think you're right. We're all weird.
We are. But it'll be interesting to see what we can discover. Tony's got a very savvy mind, so he may pick up on something that we don't, as we always do, and that sort of thing. But yeah, Tony's like me.
A lot of pressure. It's a lot of
pressure. Going to keep the pressure on you guys, man.
It's code for he's retarded. He might chime in. Oh, sorry, it went hard R there.
Yeah, you did go hard R, man. Well, this is Attitude of Aggression, so we're not usually politically correct. And nothing about this topic of conversation is very politically correct, because we're basically coming out here saying, hey, government, stop lying to us. We're big enough to handle the truth, I think, maybe. Of course, if the truth is really bad, then, you know, okay, maybe we don't need to know, but We kind of need to know. Anyway, we'll talk about that more next time when we talk about the Battle of Los Angeles and we actually pick this thing up and talk about the historical aspects. But this was a good table setter, I think, to kind of introduce people to what we're talking about and gain everybody's kind of, okay, here's taking the temperature, feeling the room. Here's where we all are. I hope that I kind of educated you guys a little bit and taught you something here on this first episode. DJ, I'll go to you first, man. Hopefully you enjoyed this. Where can people check you out on social media?
You can check me out on the app formerly known as Twitter at The Mindless Pod. Myself, Jason, and Rob, we discuss most things wrestling in WWE every Saturday on the Chairshot Radio Network. You can find us there and on your favorite podcasting platforms.
Mr. Tunney, when you're not looking to, you know, steal a Cybertruck, where can people check you out at?
Dude, fuck those trucks. Fuck Wind Chimes.
Wind Chimes. Wow.
What did Wind Chimes
get? Yeah, how did Wind Chimes get in here?
I hate Wind Chimes. If you
love Wind Chimes.
No, fuck you, DJ, then. Fuck you. The last time you ever heard DJ on Church Radio Network, him and his Wind Chimes can go fucking take a long walk off a short pier. No, I'm just kidding. But no, seriously, fuck Wind Chimes. Love DJ, fuck Wind Chimes. Follow me at PC Tunney, fuck Wind Chimes.
Wow. The hate for Wind Chimes is really kind of disturbing.
What they do? I once called the police at 2 a.m. And it was a windy night, and I have a neighbor who has tons of Wind Chimes. And I'm like, hey, can you send someone over there to get him take down Wind Chimes? And they're like, well, there's no really ordinance about that. I go, what if I went outside with a pot and a pan right now and started banging them together? Would you have to send somebody if somebody called? And they're like, yeah. I go, well, what's the difference? What do you mean? I said, well, we're both outside intentionally making noise. One gets arrested, one doesn't. Well, that's a good point.
Let me know if you do that, and if like a UAP shows up, then we'll have our own dog whistle. So I'm like down with the freaky stuff, Tunney.
Dude, second episode.
I mean, I don't want you to get abducted or anally probed or anything. Well, maybe I do. Let me think.
No. Gets rid of the Wind Chimes. Yeah.
Probed by a Wind Chime. As for me, you can follow me on X and Blue Sky at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGG. Facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression and at Attitude of Aggression, all one word, on Instagram and Threads. Guys, thank you so much for being a part of this first installment of An Unidentified History. Hope you guys will stick around for this. It'll get fun. There's going to be some weirdness, but it's okay to be weird, right? I mean, we all are kind of weird anyway, like Tunney said.
It is. And like you said earlier, I hope this branches off into some other unexplained territory. You know, because I dig hauntings and unexplained phenomena like that. So I'm hoping maybe we, you know, dip into the paranormal a little bit, because I think there may be an overlap.
Oh, there is.
And I'm going to leave that as a cliffhanger hanging in the air.
There is. And we'll probably even talk about the JFK stuff at some point in time, because it's important, but it's not more important than UAP. So,
right.
But that's for another time. Until next time, guys, keep your eyes on the sky. Keep your eyes open. We will be back for probably in a couple weeks to talk Battle of 1942 or Battle of Los Angeles. Excuse me. Let me get that right. Battle of Los Angeles. We'll talk about that in a couple weeks. Until then, stay safe. Stay alert. We'll talk to you.
At Ritual, we're celebrating all moms this Mother's Day, current and aspiring. So whether you're looking for fertility support, natal choline, or our best-selling clinically backed prenatal, we've got you covered. Find your Ritual. Go to ritual.com/podcast and for a limited time, get 40% off your first month. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Based on net sales from industry data, including Nielsen IQ, Stackline, and Numerator as of Q4 2024 and top 5 products.